Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it is a Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, February 11, 2025. Great to be with you on this beautiful feast day in the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And I was telling my listeners in the first hour of Catholic Connection, a little bit of a nice homework assignment for us today would be to learn more about St. Bernadette and Lourdes and the apparitions in the mid-1800s, but also about the teaching, the dogma. It's something that we could say, we don't necessarily agree with that. It's not a prudential judgment. It is dogma, the Immaculate Conception. And E.W. Chan is running a beautiful movie over the weekend, and Deacon Dom and I got to see a little bit of it, all about St. Bernadette. And Doug Keck mentioned this on our Friday segment. And going back and forth between that movie and The Song of Bernadette, starring, of course, Jennifer Jones, just incredible. But I always get so moved by seeing how Our Lady, when she was asked by St. Bernadette, because Bernadette was under so much pressure and being mocked and teased and being accused of all sorts of things, that she was, you know, just mentally unstable, or that she was a teenage girl just wanting all this attention. And so she talked to Our Lady at one of the apparitions and said, "Please tell me your name. They keep asking me for your name." And Our Lady responds, "I am the Immaculate Conception." So here she is telling this 13-year-old girl about this dogma that had just been released, approved and released by the church a few years earlier. And so Bernadette takes that to the local church authorities. And, of course, they realize there is no way a 13-year-old, you know, maybe now with social media and all the different types of outlets we have, but back then, are you kidding me? How in the world would she have known something that was only known to the most important theologians in the church at the time? So the Blessed Mother was not only speaking to Bernadette, she was speaking to the church and saying that this is true about who I am. And so I think it's beautiful when we have these different feast days, especially one as important as Lourdes, that we take some time to dig a little bit more deeply in terms of what was the message of Lourdes and what was Our Lady trying to tell us about who she is and who her son is. Our Lady of Lourdes, pray for us. Okay, coming up on the program, we are going to be talking about, and speaking of apparitions and miracles, we're going to be spending some time with that on our women's pilgrimage coming up in October. WINE is an acronym for Women in the New Evangelization. And Kelly Walquist and I are so excited to be co-hosting another wine trip for women only. And we have, I think, 25 women signed up already. Only room for about 10 more because we like to limit it to one bus so we can have really nice connection with the pilgrims. This is coming up in October. And we're doing this later in the year because, as I always tell my clients from Travel Italy Expert, it's much better to go out of season in October. I mean, there really isn't any time in Italy that's considered out of season because it's so popular. And it just popped up this morning on a couple of other lists as number one, the place for destinations and vacations this year. But if you can go outside of, let's say, the Easter season and definitely outside of summer into October, even late September can be super busy, then you'll have less crowds and a much better experience. So we are going to be going to very unique places, including, of course, visiting Rome for the Holy Doors, going to the Sistine Chapel and the Vatican Museums, and then heading up to some very beautiful cities and a unique itinerary because we're going to Lake Garda this time. And I did the itinerary. Kelly gives me the freedom to set it up. And I wanted ladies to see this part of the country because northern Italy, a lot of people may go to Venice or they may go to Milan, but very few people will spend time outside of Lake Como on the other lakes because you have Lake Garda, you have Lago di Maggiore, you have Lake Orta, just beautiful places of churches and shrines. And speaking of shrines, the shrine that is closest to Garda is Madonna della Corona, which was built into the side of the mountains. It's actually the shrine that's on the cover of my book, Italy Shrines of Wonder. So, you know, we are taking you to unique places, and this is what we try to do, to give you a real, real perception and understanding of the beauty. And hopefully when you're looking at these shrines, or whether you're going to Lourdes, which is another amazing place to do a pilgrimage to, I would highly recommend it, and you're looking at the beautiful, beautiful churches in Lourdes, for example, which will blow your mind also in Lourdes, France. And not only are you wondering who made that and how did they make that, but how about think about the one who made the one who made it, as in God. There is no way you can do anything like this without being totally gifted for a very specific reason, from the Lord himself. So there'll be a lot of that on our trip, and that's coming up in October. And then, because this is National Marriage Week, our friends Greg and Julie Alexander, I think it might just be Julie because Greg woke up with a really bad cold, and apparently that bug that's going around, but it's not like Julie and I can't fill two segments on marriage. So Julie, hopefully Greg, but mainly Julie will be joining us at the bottom of the hour to talk about National Marriage Week. And of course, they are with the Alexander House, and they're full-time marriage coaches, have been doing this for many years. They're also authors and speakers and do marriage retreats. And Julie will be joining me at the bottom of the hour to talk about National Marriage Week. So that's our program for today. Let's take a look at the weather. They're talking more storms, unfortunately. Two storms to bring impactful winter weather to the central and eastern parts of the country. We have a winter storm bringing heavy snow and ice to the Ohio Valley into the Mid-Atlantic, and that goes into tomorrow. Significant ice is forecast for the central Appalachians. Heavy snow is likely through the I-95 corridor from Virginia to Pennsylvania. Another winter storm is slated to bring heavy snow and ice to the central plains later today and spread into the Midwest and Great Lakes Wednesday. So be careful out there if you're traveling. And also, we've had a lot of our friends reporting a lot of slip and falls out there because of the ice and parts of the country that's affected by the weather. So again, be very careful if you're heading outside in any of this rough weather. It's already 6 minutes past the hour. Let's take a look at the news and see what's happening on a Tuesday morning, February 11th. Our Lady of Lourdes and St. Bernadette, pray for us. Catholic News Agency reporting after years of uncertainty over whether in-person mass attendance numbers could ever rebound after the huge drop during COVID-era lockdowns. New information suggesting the attendance levels have quietly returned to the numbers right before COVID in 2019, nearly 6 years later. CNA says despite the apparent uptick, though, a return to those levels still means that only a quarter of U.S. Catholics attend Mass weekly. Despite weekly attendance being obligatory, part of our life, in addition, the Center for the Applied Research and the Apostolate, CARA, says Mass attendance numbers for Easter and Ash Wednesday, the latter being one of the best attended Mass days of the year, despite not being a holy day of obligation, actually returned to pre-pandemic levels in 2023. Christmas attendance numbers, meanwhile, finally rebounded to pre-pandemic levels last year in 2024. We'll have more on this tomorrow, but big news in the Midwest. Pope Francis has appointed Bishop Edward Weisenberger, currently Bishop of the Diocese of Tucson, as the sixth Archbishop of Detroit, the Archbishop-elect succeeding Archbishop Alan Vigneron, who has served the Archdiocese since 2009. The new Archbishop will be installed at a ceremony at the Cathedral of the Most Blessed Sacrament. And as required by church law, Archbishop Vigneron, of course, submitting his resignation to the Holy Father when he turned 75 2 years ago, the Pope has named him to serve as Apostolic Administrator of Detroit until Archbishop-elect Weisenberger's installation. We're taping an interview with the Archbishop-elect this afternoon, and we'll be sharing that with our listeners tomorrow morning. In other news this morning, President Trump saying yesterday that if every Israeli hostage was not released from Gaza by this weekend, Saturday more specifically, that all hell will break out and he would call for the end of the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas.
Saturday at 12 o'clock, and after that, it's going to be a different ballgame.
The president making the comments at the Oval Office yesterday, Trump saying he would recommend the ceasefire in place since January should be canceled if all Israeli hostages were not released by noon on Saturday after the Palestinian militant group's terrible threat early yesterday to postpone any further hostage prisoner exchanges. Donald Trump is due to hold talks later today, meanwhile, with the King of Jordan. King Abdullah II will be the first Arab leader to visit Trump in the White House since he started his second term. The meeting comes after the president floated a proposal to take over the Gaza Strip and resettle Palestinians living in the occupied territory to neighboring countries such as Jordan and Egypt. Mark Mayfield tells us the president has signed executive orders to bring 25% tariffs on imported steel and aluminum.
In his first term, Trump imposed 25% tariffs on steel and 10% on aluminum. According to the White House, the effort on Monday includes provisions intended to reinstate the full power of these steel tariffs. He called it a big deal as he signed the orders, going on to say, making America rich again. The president is also set to announce reciprocal tariffs on what he said would be for every country on Tuesday or Wednesday. Canada, Brazil, and Mexico are some of the top exporters of steel to the United States, while Canada, the United Arab Emirates, Russia, and China are the main exporters of aluminum to the country.
Tulsi Gabbard, one step closer to becoming the next director of national intelligence. She cleared a major hurdle Monday night when the U.S. Senate voted along party lines to advance her nomination.
The yeas are 52, the nays are 46. The motion is agreed to.
The final vote to confirm the former Hawaii congresswoman is expected to be held either late today or early tomorrow. And an investigation is underway into a deadly Arizona plane crash involving a jet owned by Motley Crue lead singer Vince Neil. Scottsdale Airport's Kelly Kuster says the accident occurring yesterday afternoon when a Learjet coming in from Austin, Texas, veered off the runway and then crashed into a parked Gulfstream jet.
It appears that the left main gear failed upon landing, resulting in the accident.
A fire official saying one person aboard that Learjet was killed. Three others were taken to hospitals, two of them with life-threatening injuries. A fifth refusing treatment. No one was in the park plane at the time of that collision. TMZ reports Neil was not on the plane. However, his girlfriend was on board and is hospitalized with broken ribs. Scott Pringle tells us New York City Mayor Eric Adams is set to give an address at noon today after the Department of Justice ordered the federal corruption case against the mayor to be dropped.
The Justice Department memo is instructing the Southern District of New York to dismiss the case. The memo states that charges have restricted Mayor Adams' ability to devote full attention and resources to the illegal immigration and violent crime that has escalated under the policies of the prior administration. Critics argue this move follows the Democratic mayor's public support for some of Trump's immigration policies and Trump previously saying that Adams has been treated unfairly. The mayor was set to go on trial in April on charges accusing him of accepting bribes and illegal campaign contributions.
And as we mentioned in the weather several minutes ago, a pair of powerful storms targeting the Midwest and East this week. The first started hitting the Midwest yesterday, sending snow through the Ohio Valley and into Virginia and New England. Yet another storm could bring as much as 3 inches of rain to the Gulf Coast states, but areas further north would see snow. Today's winter storm is set to drop anywhere from 1 to 3 inches of snow around the New York City metro area throughout the day. Meanwhile, Daniel Martindale tells us the National Weather Service has issued a flash flood watch for Los Angeles and Ventura counties.
It will be in place from Thursday at 1 p.m. to Friday at 4 a.m. Forecasters say excessive rainfall could cause flooding along with life-threatening mud and debris flows. There is particular concern for areas within and near the Palisades, Eaton, Franklin, and Bridge Fire burn scars. The greatest impacts are expected Thursday when there is a 100% chance of rain. 1.5 to 3 inches of rain could fall in the valleys and along the coast. The foothills and lower elevation mountains could see 3 to 6 inches of rain.
So far, no reports of injuries or damages after a magnitude 3.6 earthquake in California's San Bernardino County. The earthquake happening just before 10 o'clock local time last night. It's the third earthquake to hit the area in a span of 12 hours. Phil Hewlett tells us there is a call now for the insurance claims of wildfire victims to be paid without itemizing what was lost in the blaze.
Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara is encouraging insurance companies to make full payments to claimants who suffered losses in the Eaton and Palisades fires. The commissioner is also asking insurance companies to report back to his office by the end of the month to indicate whether they are on board with his plan. Current California law requires insurance companies to pay at least an initial payment without a complete inventory of lost items.
And Super Bowl 59 is barely history, but Super Bowl 60 apparently is now coming to Northern California at Levi's Stadium in the Bay Area. San Francisco 49ers owner Jed York was in New Orleans to accept the hosting duties.
We had a great Super Bowl, Super Bowl 50. This is going to blow the doors off.
This will be the second time the game will be at the venue in Santa Clara. The sporting event looks to bring in a significant economic boost to the region. In 2016, the region seeing a $240 million surge in sales tax revenue. And finally, in our news segment, the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show now underway in New York City. Around 2,500 pups representing more than 200 breeds taking part in that annual event, which culminates in the coveted Best in Show that will happen later tonight. The preliminaries take place over the weekend with Vanish, the Border Collie, winning the Agility Championship, and Willie, the Australian Shepherd, clinching the Obedience Championship. 15 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a beautiful Tuesday on this, the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes 2025. And we learn more about wine, as in Women in the New Evangelization. The website is CatholicVineyard.com. And we have a beautiful journey, ladies, if you're interested. We still have room for at least, 10 to 15 more people. We've got 25, so we'd like to keep it to one bus to make sure it's manageable. We get to know everybody on the bus. And this will be happening in October. We'll talk about pilgrimage in general. And Father Klockman, who was our spiritual director the first time around, will be joining us again. And he also joins us up next. Stay tuned.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. That's AveMaria.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Remember the time I said on the air, go to confession. And when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. A man wrote to me, he says, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. 17 minutes past the hour. It's an honor and a blessing to chat once again with Father John Klockman. He is from the Archdiocese of Minneapolis-St. Paul, and he's a pastor there. And he's a wonderful spiritual leader, and he led us through our wine pilgrimage 2 years ago, and it was just wonderful and gave so many powerful homilies. And Father, we are proud to have you back for our 2025 Women's Pilgrimage through Italy, October 1st through the 9th. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, and I'm excited to join all the ladies that will be coming and going on pilgrimage to Italy, fantastic country.
Now, you have not been to some of the places that we're going to, correct? This will be new for you, for example, Lake Garda?
Yep, Lake Garda I have not been to in some of the cities that are around there, so I'm excited to go. And I've looked at some of the pictures online, and they look fantastic. I'm sure the cities and the food will even be more fantastic.
Yeah, we try to really find different places to go. And Kelly gives me, of course, our head of wine, our foundress, gives me a lot of a leeway to come up with the itinerary. I love introducing people to different areas. So we will be in Florence. We will be in Rome for the Holy Doors. And then we're also heading up north to Lake Garda. We'll be staying in a beautiful area in Di Cinzano and in the south of Lake Garda, and then going to this incredible shrine and spending some time there, Madonna della Corona, and then ending up in Venice. Father, let's talk about from your perspective as a priest. Here we are almost in Lent. It's a few weeks away, and we always like to do retreats. Sometimes we can't go away, but how important is it to take time for retreat, if you wouldn't mind sharing?
Sure. Lent is a great season, obviously, to purge ourselves from things that perhaps are bad habits and other things, but it's a way to kind of let go and to let God into our lives, and so I would say like pilgrimage and Lent is a great, how would I say, a kind of a poignant time for us to understand ourselves, to encounter God, to encounter ourselves, to encounter our own hearts. And so a pilgrimage is likened to that. It's really an intentional journey toward spiritual depth and renewal and really an encounter with God and an encounter with ourselves and the last time you and I were in Italy, just a great community of women that were really establishing new friendships. So it's both human and divine, and it's great for us to kind of let go and to be spiritually renewed, and therefore then to grow as the people that we want to be.
And one of the aspects of these trips that Kelly and I tried to do, as you know, is try to emphasize the female saint. So what's really cool is while we're in Rome, we are going to be going to Nettuno. So Nettuno, of course, is the home of St. Maria Goretti, and that's a very moving location. And then we're also going to be having a dinner with the amazing guide, Dr. Liz Lev, who is just a powerful speaker and an amazing sister in the Lord in the church, in addition to being the top guide, I think, in Rome. So there's all kinds of different experiences. We're also going to Florence, as I mentioned, and we're going to Modena for a balsamic wine tasting and lunch, and then going to Di Cinzano in Lake Garda. And one of the things I think is important, Father, and I know you stressed this on our trip 2 years ago, is taking time to embrace the beauty. There's this new movement in the travel industry called transformative experiences. And I kind of chuckle at that because from our perspective as Catholic Christians, we know that going on pilgrimage, whether it's Rome, Lourdes, Poland, wherever, is supposed to be. That's the whole idea of it. You're supposed to have a transformative experience, right?
Exactly. And I think that what's beautiful, too, this year is that this is a Jubilee year.
Right.
Inaugurated by the Holy Father and dedicated to the protection under Our Lady of Hope. And I just wanted to quote him. He just said that, "Let us entrust this new year to Mary, Mother of God. May we learn, like her, to discover God's greatness in the little things of life." And I think that's what you're pointing to. Whether it's food or family or new friendships, a prayer life, or letting go of old habits that have kept you at bay, God wants to renew us. And even in the little things of life and the beauty of Italy and Lake Garda and the shrines and seeing the saints and what they've done, even in the little things of their life that made them great saints.
Do you have a favorite area of Italy? I know you spent time in Rome, but do you have a favorite?
I love Florence for its beauty and its art, but I would probably say the lake region is my favorite. You know, I'm from Minnesota, so lakes are, you know, close to my heart, but Lago Maggiore and Garda and Como, I mean, there's so beautiful towns around there, and the lakes are pristine, and the people, it's, you know, you get outside of the big cities and you really experience Italy, and you experience also the saints from all the different regions. But I would say the lake region is probably my favorite.
Have you been to Garda? Will this be your first time to Garda?
This will be my first time to Garda. I've been to Cuomo and Lago Maggiore, but I haven't been to Garda, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, Garda is incredible. I think Garda is my favorite of all of them, even though the other ones you mentioned are absolutely gorgeous. We're also going to Padua for St. Anthony, and we're going to end up in Venezia, as they say in Bella Italia. Have you been to Venice?
I have been to Venice once, and that was like 23 years ago. So it'll be nice to revisit that, and I'm excited to go to Padua because St. Anthony is one of my favorites, and when I was ordained here at the Cathedral of St. Paul, in St. Paul we have a Shrine of Nations of the original settlers that came here, and the Italians were one of them, and they had a statue to and a shrine to St. Anthony of Padua, and he was a great preacher, and I asked for a specific grace from him that I would also preach well and teach well. So I have a specific desire to go to a shrine in Padua.
Yeah. Well, you are a great preacher. You actually, he probably interceded strongly because you're wonderful. And you get those homilies done quickly because we can't spend a lot of time in the churches because we have to move on because the next group is behind us. So you do that really well. Yeah. I think it's a super important bonding time for women. And I know you get a kick out of me and Kelly when we're sitting in the front and we're laughing hysterically at this thing or the other. But you see a lot of bonding going on, a strengthening of relationships. Kelly and I love to sit there. And we were telling you this the last time, and just listen to the conversation behind us.
And what I noticed the last time that we were all together as well is that people are in different places. You know, some come with a small group or a friend, and that's key, to bring a friend with you so you know somebody. You don't feel like you're immediately with a group of strangers. But at the same time, I saw the women bonding quickly with each other, and people are all different places. Some just went through a death in the family. Some may be going through difficulties in their marriage. Others aren't going through any of that, and they're just excited to go on pilgrimage and to be with other women of faith. So wherever you are in your faith life, we're there for each other, and these women are there for you.
Yeah. Well, we're so excited you're going to be joining us again, Father John Klockman. And you're still at St. Bart's in St. Paul, Minneapolis, right?
I'm in St. Bart's, which is in Wayzata, which is a suburb in just west of Minneapolis.
Beautiful suburb, by the way, too. Great to speak with you, Father. Stay warm in Minnesota and look forward, God willing, to seeing you in Bella Italia in a few months, October 1st through the 9th. And we are going to Roma, Natuna, Florence, Padua, Garda, Venice, and more. Hope you can join us, CatholicVineyard.com or WinePilgrimages.com to find out more information. Minutes past the hour. It is National Marriage Week, which began on February 7th and will run through Valentine's Day this weekend. And we were hoping to have both Greg and Julie with us this morning, but Greg woke up with that flu bug that's going around, so he's sleeping it off. And I said to Julie via email, oh, whatever will we talk about? We just won't have anything to chat about. Not true. So, Jules, good morning. I'm sorry Greg's not feeling well, but let's talk about the importance of the church, as well as our Christian counterparts, recognizing National Marriage Week, February 7th through the 14th.
Absolutely, Teresa. It's so important to recognize it because I think too often we think it's a private entity, which that is so far from the truth. You know, we get married in the church, we have witnesses around, and it is truly us as married couples who are to be a witness to the world, to the culture, for life and love, and to show others what it is for commitment, for Christ's love, for his church. There's so many things that come with marriage that, Teresa, far too often we don't think about it because we think that it is just about us on this little island, and that's all that matters. There's so much more to go with it, and thanks be to God, the church is recognizing and saying, you know, uplifting and talking about marriage for at least this week, if nothing else.
Yeah. Well, they have a really great website, foryourmarriage.org, that has all kinds of information on the theme this year, which has to do with hope because of, the Jubilee Year of Hope, but also different videos and different teachings. And it's very easy to find out more, maybe do something with your spouse and your family this week to uphold marriage for National Marriage Week. But I want to get back to something super important that you said regarding the public witness. How many of us think about that when we're going to a wedding, right? And why is it so important, Jules, for the couple to understand what they're doing in terms of witnessing to marriage?
Oh, it's critically important, and that's why the preparation isn't just a weekend and isn't just like 6 or 8, you know, sessions with a mentor couple. It literally, marriage preparation begins in the womb of the mother when the couple comes together and conceives a child. Because the witness of that couple, they are standing before family, friends, and particularly they're standing in front of God, claiming and proclaiming their commitment and love to one another. And it is, Teresa, till death do us part. That never changed. The words never changed, but it seems as our attitudes and our hearts have gone far from that understanding of the truth of what really it means to be committed in a lifelong marriage.
You've been marriage coaches, you and Greg, for a long time. Your Alexander House website, by the way, is beautiful, thealexanderhouse.org. You've been very busy. I mean, you have people waiting to get help, you know, to speak with you, you know, as a marriage coach. What happens, do you think? You mentioned preparation briefly, where it breaks down seemingly so quickly, Julie, nowadays, these marriages.
It absolutely does, Teresa, and I think it's because people go into marriage, Teresa, with the wrong understanding and the wrong mindset. I was thinking of that the other day that, you know, we raise ourselves on romance novels, Disney, all those different movies, and, you know, people know more about movies and marriage than they do about God's plan for marriage. And too often we come in ignorantly, and it does always seep in the selfishness of our individualness. Because it comes into people enter into marriage thinking, what am I going to get out of it? What's in it for me? And as soon as we enter into something like that, it again goes back to the difference between a contract and a covenant. A contract is something that, you know, that you sign, and I'm going to get this in return because I'm getting something out of it. But a covenant is where you give yourself completely, as Jesus showed us on the cross in his way of his life. He didn't leave anything back. He didn't hold anything back, and he didn't leave anything for himself, but he offered it all to the Father for on our behalf. And that is what we're supposed to emulate in our marriages. But it's just kind of, it goes against the grain of what we've been raised in this culture to believe about me. It's all about me. It's as long as I'm happy. But that's absolutely the total opposite of what marriage is.
Any idea, like just a guesstimate, Jules, in terms of how many couples with whom you meet understand the true meaning of marriage according to the Catholic Church? And just a guess.
3%.
That low.
And those are people who go to Mass daily. Those are people who sit in the front row. Those are people who, theologians and people in the church. What we found, Teresa, is over the years since, you know, we began 25 years ago, and we used to ask the question to couples, whether it was at a workshop or just couple to couple, and we'd say, what is God's plan for marriage? And they, deer in the headlight, you know, look like, what do you mean? God has a plan? And I made me feel a little good because I thought I was the only ignorant one because I didn't realize that God had a plan for marriage, even though I got married in the church. And then now we will ask that question and hands go up immediately and they'll say, get each other to heaven. And we're like, absolutely, but how do you do that? And then again, silence. It's because we've learned how to answer the questions or have the quick answer to those questions, but we don't really dive deep into the understanding of what is his plan, what is the purpose for marriage, and why did we enter into it in the first place? Yes, it's unbelievable how many, the lack of knowledge. And in scripture, we all know, Hosea 4:6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And think about that in marriage. My people perish in marriage. Marriage is perishing because the lack of knowledge and what people do not enter into and understand.
We have about a minute and a half for the break, but give us a little bit of a personal testimony. We could pick it up on the other side, but it's so important because you come from a place of experience in terms of, you know what you're talking about in terms of marriage struggles.
Most beautiful recent one I can give you is we had a couple that showed up at our place. We have a property here, but they showed up on the front porch of the office. He's standing outside because he doesn't even want to come in. Sits down in the chair and says, I'm done. I don't even want this marriage. I don't know why I'm here. I just basically thought I would come, but I'm pretty much done. I don't even want to be in here. We began to explain God's plan for marriage, took him through their sessions. We even do a process called Healing Hearts, where we do past wounds and take care of all that. You know, the understanding of cleansing, forgiveness, and all those things that took place. 2 years ago, they showed up. They came here last weekend for an event that we had, and we didn't even recognize their faces. They were holding hands with smiles on their face, but they drove 3 hours to come to an hour and a half prayer event that we had, Teresa. And they came because she felt in her heart when she was in adoration that God told her, you need to go to this event, and you need to go there because there's something there for you. They were both in tears. They were in adoration. And, Teresa, one of the most beautiful things we get to see in our work, in our mission, God shows us these miracles so often, and we're so thankful because it's tough. It's rough out there, but when we put Jesus at the center and he is our reason for everything, he will transform even the most absolutely hardened hearts.
Yep, absolutely. And that, I'm hoping you're taking notes on all of these stories, because I keep telling you this is going to be a great book someday. Are you jotting those stories down, Missy?
No, but I'm telling you so you can help me. You're the writer.
What do you mean? You guys did a beautiful book, Marriage 911. It was a huge hit. This would be so cool to have the Marriage Miracles book. There you go. A little alliteration. That could be your book, part of your book title, Marriage Miracles.
And there are so many stories because God is a God of miracles, and he doesn't stop. So, you know, to honor him, we should probably do what you say.
Yes. I think so. I'm just saying. All right. It's about 36 minutes past the hour. Having a great conversation with Julie Alexander from the Alexander House, praying for Greg that he feels better. TheAlexanderHouse.org. Our focus this morning, they join us once a month for, of course, Mornings on Marriage. We're talking about National Marriage Week. And, of course, check out their great website, TheAlexanderHouse.org. We'll be right back. were laughing about that. We said, oh, gee, what are we going to talk about? Well, there's so much to talk about. TheAlexanderHouse.org. Check out the great website. And, of course, their ministry is amazing. I would highly recommend them as keynote speakers at a dinner or as retreat leaders at your parish or in your diocese. They are so real because they've been there, done that, bought the T-shirt and wrote a book about it. Right? And they can just share from the heart. Not only the stories of people that are having marriages healed, but their own marriage is an amazing story. And that's where I want to start as we wrap up this segment with Julie. Let's move into the segment. Julie, okay, your story is so crazy incredible that you can't make it up, even though it sounds like it's made up. So share a little bit of your testimony.
I promise it's not made up. Sometimes I wish it were. No, but I tell you, so quickly, the longest story, I can't even figure out how to say that, is we got married, didn't understand, got married in the church because it's what you're supposed to do, didn't understand why, but God had a plan for marriage. And I tell you what, we lived our marriage so totally opposite of God's plan, so we did marriage on Julie and Greg's understanding and idea, which was not good, it was broken. Then we got to the point, Teresa, where we did everything wrong you could do in a marriage. It was all about money and success and getting everything that we could and all about the materialism and things of that nature. And when those things didn't bring the fulfillment that we thought that it should, then infidelity entered into our relationship on both behalves. And I tell you what, when we discovered that, we just concluded that, you know, maybe we weren't meant to be together. I went to our parish priest who couldn't help us. He sent us to a Catholic counselor who suggested that maybe our marriage was, you know, like the Civil War and you're never going to see eye to eye and maybe you weren't really meant to be together. We go home, call our two kids into the room, tell them mom and dads aren't always meant to be together. I mean, Teresa, it was just unbelievable when I sit back now and think about how cold-hearted we had become. They were huddled in the corner, crying their eyes out, holding each other, and we just dismissed it. And we thought, oh, we'll just send them to counseling. That's what Bob and Sue down the street did, and their kids seemed to be okay. But by God's infinite, amazing grace and wisdom, he sent a special person into our life, and our priest went away for the entire summer. This priest filled in, and he ended up being, oh, our hearts were on fire. He was such a teacher of the faith. Everything started to transform. We started to recognize and understand that we needed something different, something more than what we were getting from the world. And we started to meet with him in between the mass times and found out he was the tribunal vicar for the diocese. We knew nothing about our faith, but we thought, oh, God is so awesome and merciful. He's sending us this man to help us get out of our marriage. We set up an appointment, went and dumped on him about how horrible things were, pointing the finger and pointing the blame at the other person, and we can't do this anymore, Father. But I tell you what, Teresa, God's grace is so amazing, and the Holy Spirit went to work because we not only dumped out on everything that we did wrong, he started to infill us with the truth and questions and saying, what is God's plan for marriage? What does our church teach about the sacrament of marriage? What are some of the writings of St. Paul and the various Holy Fathers doing pertaining to marriage? We didn't know. We shrugged our shoulders and said, what does this have to do with us? He said, I don't know. I tell you what, I suggest you go home and find the answer to these questions before you come to the conclusion to separate. Greg goes home, starts delving in, finding scripture, going to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, teachings on marriage from St. John Paul the Great. All these things he was consuming, eating them, literally like consuming them, called me into the room. And at that moment, that's when my heart broke open and allowed God to enter in so deeply, Teresa, that was the moment when he said, we need to get on our knees and we need to say a prayer to God. And he said that prayer so beautifully. And from that moment on, we gave up our plan, our lives, our understanding. We surrendered it to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he went to work. And then the Alexander House was born from our pain. Yeah. And now we've helped over thousands and thousands and thousands of couples. And now we have a team of other couples who are helping us, 8 other marriage disciples, and we need more because the need is so great out there.
Yeah. And there's a beautiful saying I've heard, let your misery be your ministry. You know, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. So you took that pain and not only healed your own marriage, which was great and amazing, and you could have gone back to your life and your jobs, but you decided, no, this is so important, we need to share this with others, and became your full-time vocation that it has been for many years. So check out their beautiful website, which is thealexanderhouse.org. So now that we're in National Marriage Week this week, Jules, and by the way, as I mentioned, the bishops put out a beautiful statement about this, and go to foryourmarriage.org in addition to Julian Gregg's website. The theme this year, based on the Jubilee Year of Hope, is Marriage, Source of Hope, Spring of Renewal, Pursue a Lasting Love. And their marriage tip for today on the website is, today we celebrate Our Lady of Lourdes, a powerful patroness for the sick. If physical or mental illness is taking a toll on your family, don't be afraid to ask for help from friends and family, especially from our beautiful Lady of Lourdes. Pray for us. So you sent us some really great ideas in terms of practical ways to strengthen your marriage. Let's start with the first, faith as a foundation.
Oh, Teresa, faith, what it would say, prayer changes everything. Jesus changes everything, and prayer is literally humbling ourselves, going to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and asking him to enter in. There's three requirements that we ask of couples when they come to see us, Teresa, and it's the three first primary questions that we ask them before we get started. Is this marriage something you want? Are you willing to do what we ask? Do you have the faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he has the power to redeem your marriage? And are you willing to invite God into your marriage and allow him to be center and to give you the grace that you need? When they answer yes to all those three questions, not even the first one so much, some of them don't want to say yes because they're afraid. But those last two are a must. When they said, yes, I believe Lord can save our marriage and I want God to be a part, we go to work, and that's why we have a 98% success rate, Teresa, because when hearts are open to Jesus and God and Mary and the angels and saints and all that our church teaches, the miracles and the transformations happen right before our eyes.
All right, second on the hip parade, this is a huge one, too, communication and emotional connection.
Yeah, the first step is to be intentional about, you know, listening. We think communication means saying everything that I want to be, that I want people to hear, because it's all about me. Absolutely not. That's why we have two ears and one mouth. We're supposed to listen more than we speak. And when we listen to the concerns and emotional needs of our spouse, then and only then can we enter into their world and be able to minister to their hurts and wounds and pains. I tell you, our world is full of pointing fingers, pointing fault and blame. Our world, I say, but who is that? The father of lies, the one that the accuser and the one that points the fingers at everyone is Satan. And we have to realize that it is a spiritual battle. It goes beyond flesh and blood. And when we allow couples to see that you are not fighting each other, when you enter into arguments and frustrations and fighting, you're inviting Satan into your union of your marriage. But when you come and humble yourselves and pray and ask God to humble you and give you the grace that you need for each other in and through so that you can be Christ for each other, that's when things become different, because the emotional connection, which a lot of people don't have, and you have a book on that, Teresa. We've turned over to social media, to all the things that come into our world with computers and all the stuff that we watch all day long, instead of looking at each other's eyes and connecting with our hearts.
Yeah. Forgiveness and healing in marriage. Huge, huge, huge.
It's critical, Teresa, because it goes back to that whole point where we give the example. When Jesus went through what he did and hanging on the cross, and he looks down and says, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do."
They know not what they do.
The most horrific incidents that we see in marriages and the things that come, it always comes from broken people, because we're all sinful people. And I say, when you point fingers at another, you put yourself behind bars. But when you look in the mirror and you say, God, help me see my sins and see what I've done to be less than, to not live up to the call that you've invited me into in my sacrament of marriage. When we do that and we can humble ourselves and literally get on our knees and repent and ask God for forgiveness and then go to our spouse and ask them for forgiveness, that is the foundation of the healing that starts to take place in order to build on a solid foundation for our marriage.
I also think being able to say, I'm sorry, quickly, right?
Yes, yes. I'm sorry is critical, but when we talk about the link between the sacrament of reconciliation and forgiveness and healing in our marriage, it is literally saying those words, it was not my intention to make you feel the way you did when I said blank or when I did blank. Will you forgive me? Because when you say, will you forgive me, it calls the other party to come and say, yes, I forgive you. Just like in the sacrament of reconciliation, we go and we confess our sins. we go five sins, and there's never a time when the priest comes back and says, okay, one, two, four, yeah, but five, I'm going to have to think about. Actually, you know what, Julie, you're going to have to prove to me that you're really sorry. Mm-hmm. I mean, God, Jesus would never do that to the priest. When we're asked for forgiveness with a contrite heart, we are forgiven. And mm-hmm. as we say every day in the Our Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. When we don't forgive, Teresa, we're the ones that then take on that burden and that pain and those right. issues. But when we offer it up to Jesus, he takes care of all things, and it's all to do what God asks us to do, not to do what our heart sometimes wants us to do.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we talked about faith as a foundation, communication, emotional connection, forgiveness and healing in marriage, keeping the spark alive. Now, this is something that I think is so important, and I get frustrated. I get my Jersey Italian up because we do this amazing dinner every year, and you guys know about it. It's World Marriage Day dinner, and we're having it after Valentine's Day this weekend. Finally, it's sold out. But you wouldn't be, but I have to beat my head against a brick wall to help get that thing filled. I don't mind doing it because it's something that Dominic and I believe in. We gave our testimony there almost 25 years ago, and it was a great experience. And because God healed our marriage, we want to give back. But I don't understand. Something like this is great entertainment, great speakers, very affordable, and we still have to practically beg people to come. I don't understand it when this is so much nicer because you're with like-minded people than hanging out at a restaurant that's going to charge you three times the normal price because it's Valentine's Day. I don't understand that, and this is a way to keep the spark alive.
It absolutely is, Teresa. What we've seen in every single case and every single couple that we've worked with, priorities are out of whack. It's usually mm-hmm. upside down. It's usually the kids first or job or activities outside the home. But literally, God has a plan and order for everything. For when things are out of order, there's chaos and disorder. God has to be first. You as a couple are second. Yes, that's not mean to the children. It is teaching them the order. But it's God first, the couple second, children third, and everything else after that. Because what we also have recognized, Teresa, is when we do our workshops or talks or anything like that, people will sign up at the last minute because they want to make sure there's nothing more important going on. But I can tell you there's nothing more important than your sacrament of marriage, because I can rest assured, as we all know, we've heard it said, Sister Lucia said, the final battle between God and Satan is between marriage and the family. Mm-hmm. We are seeing couples' families being ripped to shreds because they haven't given their priority to their marriage. They're not doing date nights. They're not coming together to discuss things. They're not doing these things that are most important to keep the spark and the love alive. We committed to in front of God to each other, and it is our job and duty, because imagine yourself at the end of your life, you take your last breath, and you're standing in front of God. I guarantee you he's going to ask me, Julie, why did you not give Greg the love and the devotion that I've asked you to give him? Mm-hmm. Oh, God, mm-hmm. you saw him. He was this, he was that, he was this. I can have all the complaints in the world. But I said I'd do to God at that altar that I promised him that I would love his son, Gregory, the way that he asked me to love him.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, we got through almost all of your outline, which was fabulous. You guys are wonderful guests because you really like to hone in on important points, and this is so, so beautiful. So I just want to wrap up because you're suggesting to our listeners for National Marriage Week, attending a local or online marriage enrichment event. You have many resources available at thealexanderhouse.org, programs, books, retreats, online courses. And Julie, we have about a minute left, so I'm going to let you close with a message to couples, a final encouragement this morning.
Absolutely, Teresa, and thank you, God. I'm thankful for you allowing us to be on here because so many people need to hear this. You're not alone. You're not alone in your struggle. God sees everything. But I ask you to surrender everything to him. Surrender your heart and your marriage. Pray every single day for your spouse. Pray every single day for you as a couple. Pray every single day for your marriage. Ask God to give you the grace to love your spouse the way he called you to love them. Your marriage is worth fighting for. No matter where you are right now, God's grace is always available to strengthen and restore your relationship. Marriage is a gift. It is a gift to bring joy. And what
we're almost out of time, but beautiful messages. Marriage, of course, is Marriage Week this week, National Marriage Week, alexanderhouse.org, thealexanderhouse.org. We'll be right back.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The most amazing saints from modern times, John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, and Maria Faustina with the Divine Mercy. This is Steve Ray. We invite you to join us on a pilgrimage to Poland and experience this incredible Catholic country, the land of saints, Catholic culture, gorgeous churches and shrines, and delicious food. Join us next April as we again visit Poland, one of our favorite pilgrimage destinations.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
Italy aficionado Teresa Tamio's newest book is now out on the Ave Maria online store. In Italy's shrines and wonders, Teresa Tamio provides how best to navigate the most popular sites, best routes, and how the best to soak in all the beauty Italy has to offer. She also shares the most inspiring journeys to make your Italy excursion utterly unforgettable. Italy's shrines and wonders from Catholic Connections Teresa Tamio can be purchased at AveMariaRadio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Hope you're having a great day on this Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. Don't forget your little homework assignments to learn more about the dogma of the Immaculate Conception and also about this beautiful feast day. Maybe watching the movie on EW10 that was broadcast over the weekend, or, of course, the Song of Bernadette. Talk to you tomorrow on a Wednesday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.